Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so many wonderful things that he's up to. And he's revealing things to people that love him, that will seek him and hear him out. When God makes things plain for us, it's not just so that we can share a better revelation than somebody else. This is life. Everything that God gives us is for life. Now, I noticed something about the Lord. He doesn't waste. He doesn't like holy things to be wasted. If he reveals something through one of his people, he does monitor to see how we handle what other people give us. And he expects us to be faithful with that information from that point on. And he wants us to. It can save our life. Information can save a man's life, keep him out of danger. There are so many people that have fallen into hell because they didn't listen, because they lacked information, they lacked knowledge. And, you know, God holds you accountable for the knowledge that you waste. Not the knowledge you don't know, but the knowledge that you let go. You know, that's not a good thing to let knowledge slip away. Now, the warfare is designed to pull the knowledge of God out of you. Frustrations, things that, you know, everything that come your way, it's not an accident. It's not just happens to something that was just going to happen. Most of the time, it's an attack. And it's not a random attack. It's an appointed attack from Satan. And the world system, Satan is not—he's lazy. He's not that. He's kind of like that raven that Noah sent out. You know, they make all that noise, but he didn't find anything. The dove—he had to bring the dove back in, cause she was about to go back and let her rest. Then she went back out and found the olive branch. But the raven, he didn't. You know, he just, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And then he, you know, he came back empty. He probably didn't even fly far away, and he's a bigger bird. Now listen, Satan's tactics, God show us things. It's up to us to see it. Satan, his debauchery works with leaven, but it's infectious. Now the word of God works like leaven too. It forms in us and equips us for strength and life. But the things of darkness, it equips us to reject the things of life so that we'll be Satan's slave, basically. The world system is infectious. Doubt is infectious. You don't have to do anything in life. If you just want a free will, the enemy is going to come and grow weeds in your garden. It's just like the lazy man that Solomon talked about in Proverbs. You look over his field, it's unmanicured, it's uncared for. He don't pick his crops on time. He don't cultivate the ground like he's supposed to. And even when he does manage to get crops, he's too sorry to go pick them. And life just takes over. You know, a person that's diligent, you look at their house and their yard, it looks nice and manicured. The only people that can do that is people that live a well-balanced life. And if they can't cut their own grass, they manage their finances so that they can. And some people are busy. I've been that way. And then you may have trouble with your lawnmower, and then it may rain and it gets worse. Things like that happen also. But people that pull it off, they are better at managing something. There's something going on that's better. And sometimes it's an attack. Now, but when it's just pure laziness, there's no cure for that. A person, you know, they may struggle for a while and get on their feet and things will start blooming. That's different. You know, when a soldier's being shot at in the field, he's surviving. He's not thriving right now. He's trying to not get dead. and take the bridge or whatever they're doing, you know, and he'll win if he sticks to the battle and keep his mind sharp. He's got to be alert. He's got to keep his gun clean and his ammunition dry. He's doing things. But eventually, he'll be able to thrive. But first, he got to win this fight. I watched one movie. Nothing will sober you up and make you appreciate the freedom you enjoy like a good old war movie. You see good men risking their life to hold a position, a bridge, so that the enemy can't cross and mount up and kill more soldiers and take countries, just like Germany tried to do. But the point is this: Satan is corrupt. His things are corrupted. It's corrosive. It's corrupt, and it brings things down. We have to have enough word in our heart to not only live and thrive, but to combat what he's doing. We can't fight him if we have his ways in our heart. And it's hard to fight him when you have his ways in your mind. That's why if we don't renew our mind, we're going to be... whatever's in your mind is trying to get to your heart. And once that happens, you become something you really don't want to be, or you become frustrated and aggravated by the course of this world. But all of these things can be dealt with. Jesus gave us power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and all the power of the enemy. So you can walk on them. You don't have to let them walk on you. And that's just not so that you can get what you want out of life, the American dream, so to speak. But you also have to take the knowledge of God and hold it dear. You have to receive his knowledge and hold it and keep it. You have to attain what God is giving you and retain it and receive it and retain it and believe it and act on it, so that it can do you can do the things that you need to do in life. Your life is designed to thrive. We're not supposed to be subject to the rudiments of this world, the way the world do things and the way we do things. It's supposed to be like Christ. We're supposed to bring heaven on earth. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. But if we lack knowledge, then we're not going to be able to pull it off. The Lord gave me a vision around the time he told me to work in the office. He also gave me a vision saying, "Let not my people lack knowledge." Now, this is Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." Why would people forget something so precious as the law of God, the ways of God? Not just the root of the law. But his ways, the things that protect us. The law is given to the lawless so that they can overcome sin and resist sin. The Old Testament Christians, though they were sinners and their sins were only covered, they could still reject sin if they wanted to. And they could do the things God was telling them to do. God gave them a format that would assist them. And if they would break through and obey God, then God would be able to help them. But if they didn't break through and obey God, then God was limited in how he could help them. But because of the covenant, he would let them suffer wars. Sowing causes reaping. Now, God don't stop the reaping process of bad sowing, but he will manage it for you. so many people, because of their wickedness, that they kept fooling around with the Canaanites. Instead of driving them out, they adopted their ways, and their systems got in them, and then they couldn't fight them anymore. Because you can't fight Satan if you think like him. You got to drive his thoughts out of you. Then you can win against him. Now Christ came and gave us, he brought us back to the zero line. Out of negativity, he brought us back to the Z. I call it the zero line because that's where Adam was. When God made Adam, he was able to excel. God told him to, the first five commandments that God ever gave man was to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. So Adam, that's where he was. He had began to ascend, you know, above the zero line. He was made, that was, he was perfect. He didn't have any sin. There was no sin on earth. And Satan was not a thing. Satan was here, but he was inactive. And so once he sinned, then he went under the zero line. He was a sinner now instead of a perfect man. Well, Jesus gave us back the power to be a son of God. And now we have to receive what Jesus is saying in order to ascend above the zero line. And some Christians never excel much, but we can thrive. We can go far beyond, above the zero line, not just be a Christian, but we can, Christ can be formed in us and we can do whatever he did. Jesus said, if you believe, you'll do greater works than me. When people stop believing, and what, not in Christ, they may believe in Christ, because when you, if you really are a Christian, your faith is on for salvation. Once you get saved, and once you believe on Jesus, your faith, you have, as long as you have faith for it, you are saved. Your faith is on. You don't doubt your salvation. But in ministry, you have to believe what God told you, your protocols, your mission, your assignment, the direction he wants. You have to believe in it full time, just like you believe for your salvation. In fact, as God gives you information concerning your ministry or whatever he gives you to do, you're supposed to excel in it. Christ is, as Christ is being formed in you, you have greater abilities. But you all, like when he told, when he gave me the vision, let not my people lack knowledge. I ran into all kind of obstacles. God gave me so much information to do what I have to do. And for many years, I didn't have a platform. I didn't have a radio broadcast. And I rarely preached in churches. So I really wanted to, I used to get mad because I had the word, but I didn't have nowhere to give it. And I ran into Cain jealousy before. You preach at a church, they don't want you to preach anymore because you did too good. Well, I didn't do it. God did it. God gave me the message. I delivered what he said, and then people got mad at me. Or they felt some kind of way, you know, they don't want it. I ran into the problem that is out there already. And the Lord, the way he gave me revelation, he acted like something was wrong. But I didn't know the difference. I didn't, you know, to the pure, everybody's pure. But everybody's not pure. To the froward, everybody's froward. Because people think that others are like they are. And I didn't know these things. My heart, I thought every Holy Ghost filled preacher was like me. When the Lord had to show me, you know, he could tell me, but he had to show me. He let me see it. Then I said, we got a problem. This problem is deep. This is a bigger problem than I thought. And he gave me revelation. I asked God questions like I always do. That's my pattern. That's what I do. I ask questions. That's how I learn. I said, Lord, what are we going to do? And I still didn't have a platform. He continually gave me revelation after revelation, and it was remarkable. I tell my friends who now friends that love God, they'll listen to it. people that love the world, that don't make sense to them. They're trying, the people in the world that don't really want to know God, they have a strategy. And the strategy of the world is to try to stay ignorant so that, because they know, they remember one scripture that Jesus said, he that's been given much is required much. And Jesus spelled it out. He that has greater knowledge, they're going to have, well, people that has less knowledge, they're going to be beaten with fewer stripes, you know. And I have so many people said, you know, they people try to stay ignorant. That ain't going to work, because you have a chance to learn, and that's what God is talking about. Because you rejected knowledge, what's going to happen is not that God is mad at you and hates your guts. Because you rejected knowledge, you receive something, and it's going to cause a problem. And you're setting a pattern before your children. And your heart was hard enough to stay in ignorance. Now, your children, they're going to watch your life, and they, you know, not the person that would do something like that. They watch it. Little children, they're being programmed all the time. They're learning. They can learn a language in a year. So they're picking up the cues and ways of their parents. And they become, their parents is representing God to them. That's the way that they see God is how they see their parents. And when parents would do wrong, then, and, you know, that's how leadership does. So they live a life that God has to totally reject. Because God is saying, don't make, you have to do what you can to get your children out of sin and to get to a point that they hate sin. Sin is going to cut their head off. Sin is going to take them to hell. Demons are going to torment them. People in hell get tormented. Jesus said, the worm die not. He's trying to let you know it ain't a place to go. And you don't have to choose death. It's not that God say, well, you know, because you rejected me, and now I hate you. God always loves us. And he loves us just like he loved us enough to die for us. And so does Jesus. Jesus loved us enough. On the cross, he was a priest. On the cross, he did the work of a high priest. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. People don't know how dangerous it is to be ignorant. Because the knowledge you don't have, you don't have to combat sin, and sin will take you out, and Satan will kill you. Sin will cause you to be so dirty, you're not going to have an appetite for life. That's why you have to overcome evil with good. You have to receive God's word deep in your heart and combat the things of darkness. Knowledge is the key. The knowledge of God. You have to receive it. Not just know about it. You have to receive it and incorporate it in your life. We all do. We have that responsibility. When I didn't have a platform, I said, Lord, I want to. The word was in my heart. It wanted to do something. The word of God has a will of its own. When God used to give me a message, and he still does, that message wants to get out. Especially when you know it's appointed. Now, when somebody invites you to preach at a certain time, a certain day, now you know you're supposed to be at that place at that time to preach that word. And that word wants to be there to deliver itself. So it wants to be delivered. Jeremiah got frustrated because of things that I ran into. He ran into it first. And he said he was so frustrated that he said, I'm not going to preach no more. But the word was in him like fire shut up in his bones. The word of God has its own will. It has the will of God. Now, all we have to do is agree with it. And I'm the kind of person that run late everywhere they go. And, you know, that was my path. I was so busy. So being busy, I try to get so much done, and I'll work to the last moment. And then I try to get ready real quick. That's an old habit I picked up along the way. And I had to learn to be on time. And I have to do, you know, if I'm going to be somewhere at a certain time, I can't, it doesn't do me, I can't do anything that takes concentration. I have to stick to the protocol of being on time and run early so that I won't be late. Now that's, you know, some people have all kinds of flaws. That's one of mine. I said, "Lord, why do I run late so much?" He said, "You don't like to stop what you're doing. you try to finish what you're doing. You don't want to stop. You have to, you know, when the alarm go off, you have to stop." Also, I'm a mechanic. And when you're fixing a car, you have to get to a stopping point. And you have to know where you stop so that when you go back to the job, you'll pick up and not miss a step. I can't afford to miss a step. So when I used to work, if I put a motor in and I had to make sure oil was in it and brake time was around that time, I would make sure that the motor had oil before I took a break. Because if I thought I put oil in the car and cranked the motor, I could ruin the whole thing. And it happened before, not with me, but there were three guys working and brake time came around and they drained the oil. Somebody put the plug in. Then they thought each other put the oil in and they all went to brake. They told somebody the truck was ready and they made it down the street and it locked slap up. So you have to get to a stopping point. So when I'm doing intricate work, and I got to be somewhere, I have to make sure that I have to consider whether I want to risk the chance of running late. Well, when you got to do God's will, you don't be late. And I'm not perfect, and I know it. So I would pray, "Lord, help me be on time." And I do everything I could to be early. Then you have children. Now, you got to be somewhere preaching. And they barely move. They move like an old person when they're young and they don't want to get up out of that bed. Managing life is not easy, but you have to do it. Well, the word was in me and it wanted to get out. And this was a chance to be a blessing to fellow brothers and sisters. The eagerness to preach was not to show off. It was to deliver a message. That was the will of the word. I just wanted to make sure I didn't mess it up. So, and I thank God for good preachers and people are preaching the word. And when I'm around people that preach the word, I'm kind of relieved. But if I see a need, like in those days, a lot of things that I was learning would have helped people. And people were eager to learn back then. And pastors were overwhelmed. Sometimes you need a fresh minister that's not, he don't know nothing about the people. He don't know their problems, what they're going through. Because when you ministering as a pastor, and you know everybody and their problems, and then God is telling you, you know, it is. I understand that it's different. Because you know the people, and now you're preaching the word, and you know their business. You know what they tell you in the office, and you're trying to help them the best you can. Then here comes somebody that don't know anybody, and the Lord give them a message that just clear things up. That is necessary. It's not a competition. Sometimes people need to hear another pastor or preacher can visit and say everything the pastor been saying for months, and then the people get it. And the Lord taught me something back in 2006. And see, the enemy is slick. We gotta understand how the wiles of the devil work. We got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a lamb. Not just be harmless as a lamb. We got to be wise as a serpent. The Lord told me something in 2006. He said many pastors are in strife with the congregation over tithes. All right? Because some of them don't pay tithes. And then there are churches that are thriving and everybody or enough people pay tithes that they don't have to believe for every little dime. you know, they're getting a steady income. And I've seen this, and when they get in strife, you can't teach people in strife. See, the word, and the Lord, he brought it back to me, the word is sown in peace. If there's any animosity, you don't have to say it, but what, I mean, you don't have to browbeat somebody, but once animosity is in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. And that can, that hinders pastors, that hinders the whole ministry. And they need the tithes. They got bills to pay. And they don't want the lights to be turned on. That's embarrassing for a church to have the lights turned off or something. But you got to understand satanic tactics. If you remember, ministry is warfare. Warfare is uncomfortable. Until you win, it can be very uncomfortable. You may have to sleep in the mud. You may have to cover yourself up with mud so people can't see you. You may, it's like when Absalom was trying to kill David, his own daddy. The advisor said, that man is probably sleeping in some ditch. You can't find David. He's probably sleeping in a ditch. Warfare is uncomfortable. Now, Satan wants to win. But he's a spirit. He can sleep in a ditch. He don't have a body that can feel cold and heat. He's different. So I don't know much about how angels feel, but I don't, and you know, with Satan, I really don't care. But the thing is, ministry is warfare. Sometimes you have to do things a different way. You can't do what others do. So if you get in strife, the people are going to pick it up and they're going to talk. And they talk before their children, and their children hear it, then they lose respect. It just goes on and on and on. In James, it said, every evil work follows envy and strife. So if there's any strife for any reason, the enemy can ruin a church. He can put it in a stalemate. And I said, that makes a lot of sense. I see that. I could see it because I've seen it before. I just didn't know it. I've heard pastors talking. They voice how frustrated they were. And when they preach, it comes out. Especially the first Sunday of the month. Many churches preach about tithes the first Sunday in the month, no matter what God wants to do. Not all, but it happens. And the Lord, the one who brought this to me, I don't sit up and try to figure out what's wrong, but I have to deal with what God gave me. And God came to me with this. I didn't ask for it. I mean, it's just the way some things, the Lord has to deal with it. Remember, any kind of problem, the Lord has to faithfully deal with it. And he raised up people to help deal with it. These are things that people haven't put together. A lot of darkness is camouflaged. Everybody asks God to forgive them, to stay current with God, to stay right with them, but they still don't learn how to kill Satan. They still don't learn how these things work. And they don't mean no harm. They just don't.